an interesting piece in the National Post, an opinion piece, basically looking back at our at a system that was supposed to give us some idea that we were looking at a pandemic and looking at some serious problems, called the Global Public Health Intelligence Network. Boy, is that ever a mouthful, that's for sure. The piece in the Post was co-written by our next guest, Wesley Wark, joining us on the program this afternoon, is a University of Ottawa Center for Public Management and Policy, and a senior fellow at the Center for International Governance and Innovation. Wesley, how you doing?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on the program.
No problem. Here, let's do the obvious thing we need to get out of the way, because I don't think many people know what the heck the Global Public Health Intelligence Network was even supposed to be in the first place. What is it?
So it was a very innovative unit that was created by Canada in the late 1990s in association with the World Health Organization. The idea was that Canada was going to go out and be a leader in kind of global awareness of major disease outbreaks by creating this unit that would seize on the internet and scan global media to pick up what it assumed might be the very first signals of some, you know, potentially dangerous disease outbreaks somewhere in the world. The assumption of it was that if they could do that global media scanning well, which would be, you know, technologically complex and kind of labor intensive, but if they could do it well, they might get the very first signals well before a government might be prepared to say there's something bad going on within our territories. So that was the basic idea. And GFIN, which came into operation in 1998, then served Canada and the World Health Organization global health security well through successive health emergencies, including SARS back in 2003 and other, you know, major disease outbreaks, right up until the point when COVID-19 struck the world. But just before that, essentially, the Global Public Health Intelligence Network, as we now know in considerable detail, was essentially sort of shut down because the Public Health Agency of Canada had lost interest in its mission for mysterious reasons, but it just wasn't able to operate properly during COVID-19. And the result was that Canada deprived itself of an important kind of early warning system, and it deprived the world of that system as well. We were meant to use it to provide information to the World Health Organization, which relied on it for a lot of its early warning signals. But it just went dark before COVID-19 broke. And that, you know, that's part of a larger story about how Canada failed to be properly prepared, failed to predict the impact of COVID-19.
So was it do we know when it was shut down? Was it shut down literally just before the pandemic kind of started over in China?
No, it was shut down in 2018. I mean, it was hobbled. Activities were restricted. It was told to focus less on global health scanning and more on domestic health outbreaks. In a reorganization that happened at the Public Health Agency of Canada in the spring of 2018, so it was essentially kind of a year and a half before COVID-19 broke that GFIN was kind of locked in its own basement and told to be quiet.
Okay, so it's essentially told to look for things more within our borders as opposed to outside of our borders. So I'm guessing opioids and the like that, right?
Opioids and that kind of thing. And also there's a fair amount of evidence that senior officials of the Public Health Agency of Canada just didn't find it relevant in terms of its global health reporting mission. And one of the things that they, you know, forced a change to was that the Global Public Health Intelligence Network was meant to issue what we called alerts to a global audience. And these were just kind of single warning bell rings that said, we've seen this piece of information that needs to be followed up by about a major disease outbreak, you know, in West Africa, in China, wherever in the world. It looks alarming. We need to find out more. That was the idea behind alerts. But the alert system itself was actually shut down.
Now, here, let me ask you this, because if it was operating the way it was supposed to from 98 until 2018, were there successes? Like, was it a useful tool? I think, obviously, in SARS would be in that time frame, if I'm not mistaken. There's probably some other pieces that popped up. Were there times where we looked at it and said it delivered on what was promised for it?
Absolutely. It had a stellar record, and international organizations recognized when they did studies of Canada's health preparedness, they recognized that the value of GFIN, the Public Health Agency of Canada itself kind of extolled its work, not just in SARS, which was in fairly early days for the development of this organization back in 2003. There was a pandemic that broke out in 2009, started in Mexico, called the swine flu outbreak. It looked very dangerous at the time. And actually, GFIN was the first international organization to pinpoint it as a potential pandemic and spread a warning to Mexican authorities, U.S. authorities, Canadian authorities. It played a role during the Ebola crisis in West Africa in monitoring the spread of Ebola there. It had a long track record of success, which makes the decision not to continue to feed it and maintain it and use it all the more bizarre.
Which is, bizarre. No, they've done a report on all of this, right? Like, that's kind of what pushed on your op-ed in the Post, right?
Absolutely, and it was a good report. That was commissioned by the health minister, I think, to be honest, because there'd been a lot of media reporting calling attention to the failure of GFIN, and I think the health minister felt she had to do something. So they created this independent panel and gave it fairly narrow terms of reference, which the panel, to its credit, proceeded to ignore and went broad.
Okay, so it decided to give kind of a widespread. But looking at it, did it obviously, I'm going to guess, kind of pointed us back towards the fact that it should be used as its initial kind of incarnation.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, it said, this is an important capability. Canada needs to continue it, needs to restore it, build up its technological capacity and its analytical capacity. Use it properly in terms of making sure that whatever GFIN might provide in terms of warning signals can then go into a process where people are collecting as much information about a global disease outbreak as is available from every possible source, assessing that risk and taking decisions on the basis of the known information. And it's that broader process that the report that was chaired by Margaret Bloodworth, a former national security advisor to Prime Minister Harper, said, it's not just that GFIN didn't work properly, but the process that it was meant to support didn't work either. There wasn't a proper kind of informed decision-making process to try and understand just how dangerous COVID-19 was.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, because I imagine there's a lot of pessimists out there going, even if they had something going off and telling them, hey, to be aware of this, I think people are a little skeptical that any government would have made the right calls at the end of the day. But ultimately, we need something like this, I think, don't we?
Absolutely. And, I understand people can be skeptical about, government capabilities and how well governments can respond to unusual crises. But I think the answer to that is, we only have to look around the world, and we can find examples of countries that did much, much better than Canada did, with in some ways less capability to deal with COVID-19, simply because they took the warning signs seriously in a way that we didn't. And that's true of a variety of countries, for example, Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, South Korea, even smaller countries in Southeast Asia like Vietnam. None of these countries had similar, well-honed plans and capabilities compared to Canada. They all did better than us, and that suggests that we could have done better than we did, no matter what the sort of political rhetoric or skepticism around this might be. We could have done better, and, there's going to be another pandemic. All the experts say that. The next pandemic could be worse. Let's hope not, but we have to be much better prepared. That's, I think, the important message that comes out of this report from the independent panel, and that I think a lot of experts in the biosecurity field, as it's called, are really seizing on.
Is it also because I think and I know there's plenty of people in the weeds on conspiracy theories about how COVID-19 kind of came about, but this time around here's a naturally occurring something that pops up in a natural way. Does this, because I know some of your background's also in national security and terrorism and the like. How concerned on that front? Because we didn't act very fast on this when it was, something coming from a natural space. If this was somebody trying to do something purposefully to us with something a lot more powerful, I guess, we really would have had our pants down.
Yeah, biosecurity threats can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. They can be naturally occurring, so-called zoonotic diseases that leap from animal species to humans, as appears to have been the case with COVID-19, though we don't absolutely know that for sure. They can be a result of laboratory leaks in high-level laboratories that are doing work on viruses. They can be, in the kind of worst-case scenario, product of kind of man-made efforts to spread viruses as a biological weapon. We really haven't seen too much of that yet. Hopefully we won't see it in the future. But there is that whole spectrum. And if you're not prepared for one element of that spectrum to hit you, the sort of naturally occurring, you're certainly not going to be prepared for any other manifestation of this same threat.
At the end of this program and this effort, I want to make sure I do it. I don't want GFIN, Global Public Health and Intelligence Network. Can we quickly restart it and do it properly? Is that possible, or do we need to create something maybe slightly different?
No, I think it can be restarted. I mean, it continues to exist. It has the technological capacities that were built over a considerable period of time. It has analysts that are used to working with that material in place as a Public Health Agency of Canada. It needs more. It needs more resources. But what it really needs is more attention on the part of the Public Health Agency of Canada, on the part of senior decision makers. It needs for people to pay attention to what it's doing, which just wasn't possible when COVID started.
Yeah, I would say that I don't know if we would walk down the street and we would know too many people would have had a clue that this thing even existed. But this pandemic, I think, is opening up our eyes to the necessities of things like this. And maybe that in a public sphere anyway, put some pressure on the powers that be that kind of control these decision making things.
No, I think, to be honest, public health is one of these areas that, in terms of the federal government's jurisdiction, doesn't get a lot of look into, other than from a few experts around the country and people in hospital administration and so on. The Public Health Agency of Canada is not a transparent organization. It's not really accountable to any external bodies. So all of that has to change, precisely for the reason you say, Matt. The more public is aware of the importance of its role and some of the potential pitfalls and the way it's operating, the better it could be in the future.
Yeah, and honestly, some of the public, even if they could see some of the stuff, the general public wouldn't be able to understand it anyway. So we need lots of people paying attention to it and following it and understanding it for us. It's a interesting piece. It was an interesting read in the Post. Wesley, I appreciate the chat today. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Matt. Great to chat.
Take care. There is Wesley Wark, senior fellow at the Center for International Governance and Innovation, also a professor at the University of Ottawa's Center on Public Management and Policy.